I want you to turn with me to John chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse 19. But later in the same book in John, in the 8th chapter, Jesus says, and John records what Jesus said. Jesus was talking to some spiritually dead people that were dead in their sins and who would not believe in him. Jesus said to them, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins." There is nothing as bad as someone dying in their sins. And to these that Jesus had gathered with him, he said, "You will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus said, "Unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." And John's gospel is dedicated to trying to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, for people to believe that Jesus is the Lamb of God who came to take away their sins. And that's who John is going to talk about in this passage of Scripture. It's who he has been talking about, and he continues to talk about. So in the 29th verse, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Let's begin reading in verse 19. "This is the testimony of John when the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?'" I mean, here was this guy, you know, dressed in camel skin, or, you know, and he is eating locusts and wild honey, and he's preaching a strange message saying, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And they want to know who this guy is. People are following him. They're flocking to him. And they sent some Pharisees to him and said, "Who are you?" And he confessed and did not deny, but he confessed, "I am not the Christ." They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the Christ. They were expecting him. They were not expecting Christ to come and die on the cross for their sins. They were looking for another kind of Messiah. But he knew, and with some suspicion, what they were thinking. And he said, "Listen, I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Well, what then are you?" In other words, they thought, well, maybe this is going to be him. It's kind of bizarre that he looks like he looks, but maybe. And he said, "I am not the Christ. What then are you? Elijah? Are you Elijah? Are you Elijah come back from the dead?" And he said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." And then they said to them, "Then who are you? So that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of Jehovah,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, and they said to them, "Why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John answered them, saying, "I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." And these things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day he saw Jesus coming to him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who is of higher rank than I, for he existed before me. John says, well, here he is. He comes after me, but he existed before me. Here he is of a higher rank than I am. Now, that's hard to understand what John is talking about, but literally, John the Baptist is the most significant person alive that day other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. John the Baptist is the person God chose to bridge the gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament. He is the prophet of God that is going to point out the one everybody has been waiting for from the very beginning of the nation of Israel. John, my friend, John himself was the chosen of God, intended by God, used by God, greater than anyone else in his day. And John said about Jesus, I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. And John wasn't just saying that to be humble. John was saying that because that was true. The most significant person alive that day said, I'm not worthy to be a slave that unties his shoes. And John wasn't, and you and I aren't. There's no room for a servant of God to think he's anything apart from Christ. Amen? But too many people get that so messed up. John said, the Lamb of God. And this is the man who is so much higher, so much more marvelous, so much more wonderful, so amazingly above everybody, that we're not, and I'm not worthy to undo his sandals. And John said, I did not recognize him. I didn't know who he was when he appeared. But so that he might be made visible to Israel, I came baptizing in water. What John was saying is that I'm not important at all. My ministry is not about me. I am here not for me. There's nothing about what I'm doing, even in baptizing. All of the followers I have, it's not about me. I came baptizing in water. But John said, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained on him. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, John said, I only know because God said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen him and have testified, this is the Son of God. And this is who Jesus had spoke to John, and John was saying to him, unless you believe in him, you're going to die in your sins. And so John, he screams out, the Lamb of God. Now, John was referring to Jesus in language that people in the Old Testament would understand. John knew that if he described Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that they would understand that he was talking about that Jesus was the Lamb that would be slain, that would be sacrificed, that the Son of God, God the Son, God who had become flesh, was going to die. And not just die, but he was going to die like a lamb would die. And that it is Jesus who would take away their sin. And so John, first of all, describes Jesus as the Lord. He says in our text, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of Jehovah or Yahweh. It's the same name for God pronounced differently. But the word Yahweh is a reference to the God of creation, the God of all glory, the only true God who has a covenant with his people. And John speaks of Jesus and he calls him Jehovah, the God of glory, the God of creation. And so John is identifying Jesus. And then John says in verse 26 and 27, among you, there's someone who stands here you don't know. He comes after me, but I'm not worthy of anything. But he is so far above me. And so John is saying to everyone, Jesus is superior to all. He's not the same as us. And Jesus is not the same as us. Jesus was God and he became man. But my friend, he was always more than us. And he was always different from us in that he had no sin nature and he had no sin. Now, the third thing John points out in verse 29 and verse 30 is why he came. John tells everybody that this is the Lamb of God and he came to take away the sin of the world. It is God, God who was before all, God who existed in eternity, God who is before all and above all and over all. God came to give his life and die on the cross for our sins. And he's the one that came to take away our sins. And only Jesus can take away your sin. No one else. And the reason Jesus could take away our sins is because of he had to be man, but he also had to be God. And so John is saying that the God-man, Christ Jesus, came to take away our sin. Look at verse 35 and verse 36 in the same text. Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, behold, the Lamb of God. He repeats again, behold, the Lamb of God. And John is saying, I want everybody to quit following me and start following Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb of God. God, who became human flesh, is the Lamb of God. He took upon himself the form of man. He took upon himself the form of man that he could be slain, that he could pay for our penalty so that he could be our sacrifice, so he could be our substitute. They knew what he was talking about because they, every year on the Day of Atonement, every year on the Day of Atonement, when the lamb was sacrificed to to take his blood and put his blood upon the altar every year when the blood of the lamb was slain. They knew that that was to cover their sins. What they didn't know is that Jesus is the only one that could really cover their sins. All of the other lambs that were slain to portray Jesus, to say, this is what he is going to do. But when he said the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, their mind could transfer and they would understand what John was saying. This is God the Son, and he's going to be slain and sacrificed, and his blood is going to be spilt to take away our sins. Now, why did he do that? Why did Jesus, why did God become flesh? And verse 29 is the answer. To take away the sin of the world, wherever men are. I don't want you to misunderstand, and later on it's going to get clear in our text. Jesus didn't come and take away the sin of every man in the whole world so that everybody is saved. Everybody in the world is not saved. Universalism is evil. The thought that we're all going to be okay is evil. It is satanic. Those who believe that everybody, whether you're Muslim or Buddhist or Hindu or whatever you are, you're okay. The idea that just so you're sincere, whoever God, we're all trying to get to the same place. They're all maybe trying to get to the same place, but they're not all going to the same place. Because only Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, when the Bible says that Jesus takes away the sin of the world, it means he's the only one anywhere in the world, wherever you are. Jesus is the only one who takes away sin from anybody, no matter where they are in the world. But it also means this. No matter where you are in the world, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not die in your sins. No matter where you are, anywhere in the world, no matter what social economic background you are, no matter how poor, no matter how rich, you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or you're going to die in your sins. And it also means this, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to die in your sins. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus said, and John recorded what he said as he was speaking to these group of people, you are going to die in your sins. Now, he meant one of two things when he said that. I'm not sure. He may have been speaking sovereignly, knowing that they're going to die in their sin. Their heart's never going to be enlightened. They're never going to be moved upon by the Spirit of God. They're never going to be given repentance. They're never going to cry out to God. And they're going to die in their sins. I want you to know our Lord God knows that. But I really don't think that that's what he means there. I don't know. I think what he's saying there is that everybody, like you, you're going to die in your sins unless you believe in me. Unless you believe that I am he. Who? When Jesus said, unless you believe that I am he, you're going to die in your sins. You're going to, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, who came as the Lamb of God, If you don't believe that, you're going to die in your sins. My friend, you've got to believe that Jesus is God who came in human flesh to be a sacrifice for your sins. That he came to suffer in your place. That he came to give his life a ransom for you. And you believe that. You receive that wonderful, amazing truth, and therefore you receive him as Savior and Lord of your life. Now, John tells us several things about Jesus. Over in 1 John chapter 3, the same guy that wrote John's gospel says, "And in him, in Jesus, there was no sin." The Lamb of God had been portrayed as a Lamb of the Atonement. The children of Israel, when they were selecting a lamb to be sacrificed, they would take a lamb out of the flock. In fact, they would take several lambs out of the flock. And they would set them aside and they would watch those lambs for a certain number of days. And they were watching those lambs to make sure they had the purest, the cleanest, the most unspotted, the most unblemished lamb they could get. And they would only take the most perfect lamb they could find. And they would slay it. And the reason they did that, of course, was God gave them directions. But the reason God gave them directions to pick a lamb without spot and without blemish, because they were to portray Christ. One of these days, the Son of God was going to be the Lamb of God without blemish, without spot, without sin, the perfect Lamb of God, the sinless Lamb of God. And my friend, he had to be a sinless Lamb of God. For Jesus to take away your sins, he had to be both God and both man. I don't have time to explain all of that this morning, but Jesus did not have an earthly father by the design of God. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and Jesus came into the earth, not born of man, but born of the Spirit of God, so that he would have no sin. The sinless Son of God, the sinless Lamb of God, who was God, who could not sin, who did not sin, so that he could die on the cross to pay for our sins. And that's why Christ came, to be the Lamb of God. Why was Jesus born into the world? To die. Jesus left heaven's glory to die. And not just to die, but to die as our substitute. To die in our place. To suffer the wrath of God for us. Now, when the Bible says he's the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world, he was saying he did this not just for the Jewish people. He did it for everyone. Everywhere in the world that there are men, Jesus didn't pick out just the Jews to save people from among the Jews. Thank God for that, amen? But he came to be the Lamb of God for the whole world. And And the reason, the specific reason that he came was to pay the sin penalty. You know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The scripture says about Jesus, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. He is the propitiation, not for the Jews only, for their sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Now, the word propitiation, it's a complicated, maybe theological word. You don't have to know what the word propitiation means in order to be saved. But you've got to understand, even if you don't know that that's what propitiation means, you've got to understand. That's why Jesus said, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So you do have to know something to be saved. You can't be saved just because you live a good life. You can't be saved because your mom and daddy were good people. No, you have to understand the gospel to be saved. And the word propitiation means that Jesus died as our sacrifice, as a substitute for our suffering. He took our place, and the wrath of God was poured out upon Jesus in our place. And Jesus satisfied the anger of God that would have been directed upon you. That's what the word propitiation means. The Lamb of God. Someone had to die, just like the Lamb had to be slain. One greater than the Lamb had to be slain. And my friend, it was Jesus. Jesus satisfied the wrath of God. For whom? My friend, you find out whom. It is all of those who have believed, or all of those who do believe. Is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who has taken away your sins? Has Jesus satisfied the anger and the wrath of God that is hanging over every man? Has Jesus satisfied the wrath of God that was hanging over you? Then answer the question. Do you believe in Jesus that he is the Lamb of God who came to take away your sins, and you appreciate him for who he is? My friend, churches are filled with unregenerate people. You hear stories of people that are grateful for this person, or grateful for that person, or grateful for a dog who woke them up in a house fire, and they just do anything for that dog after that. My friend, people treat dogs better than they treat Jesus. There are some people who won't go anywhere without their dog. There are some people who spend more time with their dog than they spend with Jesus. Imagine that. But my friend, Jesus gave his life to pay the penalty that you owed. When John writes the words of Jesus, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. He was saying, unless you believe in Jesus, that he is who he is, the Lamb of God, the God-man, Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, who paid for your sins, unless you believe in Him, you're going to die in your sins. For eternity, the wrath of God is going to be poured out on you. And all of these people were following John, and John was saying, no, it's not about me. You're not following. Don't follow me. Follow Him. And God, the Holy Spirit, is saying today, don't follow them. Don't follow the world. Don't follow all of this stuff. Follow Him. Follow Him. Take up your cross and follow Him. My friend, you're not following Him if you don't follow the Lord of glory. Sovereign God, King of your life, Master, Savior, who gave His life to suffer the wrath of God that was owed to you. And you don't want to come worship God? You don't want to sing for God's glory? 1 hour a week is too much for you? That's not following Him. That's following some jake-leg person that just smiled at you, right? Don't tell me you're following God, who gave His life, who suffered your punishment, who took all of the wrath and all of the anger and all of the hurt and all the crime and everything upon Himself, so you don't have to. And appreciate Him like we do. My friend, Jesus said, you believe in me or you're going to die in your sins. Believe in me, not in some good person, not in something, you know. Believe in me, who I am. And if you don't, you'll die in your sins. But hallelujah. God moves in your heart. You recognize who He is, who died on the cross to shed His blood, who took your place. And in your heart, you're grieved because of your lostness and sinfulness. And you cry out to the Lord, God, save me. Jesus, Lamb of God, save me. And I'll follow you. I'll follow you. I'll follow you. Follow, follow. I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow Him. Does that characterize your life? A Sunday morning Christian, occasionally, that's what you call following Jesus, who laid down His life, a ransom, who took up His cross and carried it up Golgotha's hill to suffer for you, and He says, take up your cross every day and follow me. John said, don't follow me. Won't do you any good. You follow Him. You follow Him. Are you ready to follow Jesus? Amen. Believe that He is who He is, and believe that He did what He did for you. And say, Lord, I receive you, and I'll follow.